Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness, Text Number 17. Tad buddhyas tad atmanas, tad nishtas tad parayanaha, kachanya puna arvitim, jnana nirduta kalmashaha. Tat Buddhaya. Those whose intelligence is always in the Supreme. Tat Atmanaha. Those whose minds are always in the Supreme. Tat Nishta. Those whose faith is only meant for the Supreme. Tat Parayana. Who have completely taken shelter of him. Kachanti, go. Apunar Abritim, to liberation. Jnana, by knowledge. Nirduta, cleansed. Kamasha, misgivings. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Please repeat. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, and one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Purport. The Supreme Transcendental Truth is Lord Krishna. The whole Bhagavad Gita centers around the declaration that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the version of all Vedic literature. Paratattva means the Supreme Reality, who is understood by the knowers of the Supreme as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the last word in the Absolute. There is nothing more than that. The Lord says, Matak Parataram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. Impersonal Brahman is also supported by Krishna. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Therefore, in all ways, Krishna is the Supreme Reality. One whose mind, intelligence, faith, and refuge are always in Krishna, or in other words, one who is fully in Krishna consciousness, is undoubtedly washed clean of all misgivings and is in perfect knowledge in everything concerning transcendence. Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality, simultaneous identity and individuality in Krishna, and equipped with such transcendental knowledge, one can make steady progress on the path of liberation. Tad buddhyas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayanaha kachanya puna arvitim jnana nirduta kalmashaha. When one's intelligence, faith, mind, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Here's another definition of Krishna consciousness. When one whose mind, intelligence, faith, and refuge are always in Krishna, or in other words, one who is fully in Krishna consciousness, undoubtedly washed clean of all misgivings and in perfect knowledge, and is in perfect knowledge of everything concerning transcendence. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vyastito yatva shastra vidanoktam karma kartumi harasi. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of shastra, and knowing such rules, one should act so that one can gradually become elevated. So what is that elevation? What are we following shastra for? To actually come to the platform of becoming conscious of Krishna. And part of that, as I said before, is we have to utilize not only the body, but our mind and our words, our intelligence, which is connected with the words are connected with intelligence, determination, faith, all in the Krishna service. By karma yoga, one is trained to use one's body, that is, to work without material desire, to work as a matter of duty. We do that by, for instance, chanting 16 rounds and following four of the principles. That's our duty. Now, in karma yoga, one would have some occupation as a shudra or a vaishya, but that's not so easy nowadays, especially. It'd be pretty hard to find too many kshatriyas amongst us. And even Brahmins are not so common. And what, as vaishyas, I mean, how many cows are we protecting right now? And shudras is not so easy either. Shudra is supposed to be obedient. We wouldn't make such good shudras either. In any case, but we try to do some duty, we try and follow the duty, and this age of the duty is supposed to be very pleasant. That is chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, and dancing. That's our primary duty. And Prabhupada said if it's too difficult, then well, that's very unfortunate. As far as Jnana Yoga, we've already heard so many times that we're not this body and that there is a God, Krishna, and Jagavai Vishnu. We're supposed to sacrifice for Vishnu. And that's Jnana. Bhavanam Jnanam Amante Jnanam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sarmahatma Sudurlabha. After passing through many, many births, one who is in knowledge of me surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes, and all that is, such a soul is very rare. So it's easy to say we're not this body, it's easy to say Krishna is God, it's easy to say Yajnavai Vishnu, we should sacrifice for Vishnu, but that knowledge is gradually revealed by practice. Primarily in this age, by working on the spiritual platform. In other words, since Vanashram is not so easily applied in this age, and it's only, for instance, we have our sadhana, but because we don't necessarily are absorbed in Krishna consciousness during the day, sometimes we have to struggle with our sadhana. By the time we're done with the 16 rounds, we've just started to think about Krishna a little bit. Then we get back into the material world, our material consciousness again, and then another 16 rounds the next day, struggling with our minds. Instead of chanting Hare Krishna and actually calling out like a child calling for his mother and Krishna reciprocating, and since the whole day we spend simply remembering Krishna, and therefore we simply become even more absorbed in Krishna when we chant Hare Krishna in our sadhana, rather than struggling with it. Then if we're actually come to the platform of Buddha Yoga, that is the intelligence. Intelligence is the next door neighbor to the spirit soul. So intelligence connects us with Krishna. When the intelligence is controlling the mind and the senses in Krishna consciousness, then it becomes easy to see everyone and everything in relationship to Krishna. Then one can remember things as they are, because one is working in relation to Krishna. In other words, the intelligence is everything here belongs to Krishna. So that's intelligence. Anything besides that is ignorance. So, and then the next thing is that Krishna actually wants, he has some plan, what he wants to do with his energy. It's not that he's aloof in Goloka Vrindavan, or he's asleep on the ocean of milk. Chaturmasi came early and he's asleep. He doesn't really know what's going on. So we can just do whatever we want and we hope everything turns out all right. No, Krishna actually, he knows exactly what he wants us to do with everything we have. And we have to find out. If we accept everything belongs to Krishna, then we have to find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energy. We may not find out all at once, because to find out how to utilize all our gross energies easier than trying to figure out how to utilize our minds all the time in Krishna's service. and what to speak of our vision, how to see everything as Krishna sees it, and then work as Krishna wants us to work, with our body, minds, and words, according to the vision as Krishna sees it, as He wants us to work. Now, the more we come to that, then the more we can actually begin to develop the higher state, which is to work on this spiritual platform. And that spiritual platform work means to work to please Krishna. Krishna doesn't want us to have just doing things mechanically. He wants to see that we're, you know, slaves. Krishna, don't hit me. I'll do whatever you want. I know you're a cruel and mean God, but, you know, have mercy on me. No, Krishna wants us to do things as He wants, because then we won't get into trouble. The senses are troublesome to the soul, especially lust, anger, and greed, cover the soul and prevent the soul from perceiving one's relation with Krishna. So Krishna doesn't want us to be covered. He wants us to uncover our consciousness so we can enjoy a blissful life. So for that reason, He wants us to work according to His direction. But ultimately, we have to try to please Krishna, do things with care and attention, what Krishna wants us to do. And what Krishna wants us to do is to spread this movement. Now, where to spread the movement? Whoever we meet, Yari Deka Tarikaha, Krishna Upadesh, Amara Aiga Guruhana Taraidesh. Whoever we meet, we should look at them and see them and think about how can I help them advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, if we don't see like that, how are we going to see things? If we don't see everyone as Krishna's servant, and how I can help you advance in Krishna's service, then how are we seeing things? There's not, you know, oh, you're a material body. As soon as you see people are material bodies, and we think, well, I'm not going to ask you, try to get you engaged in Krishna's service, because you're a material body. Why should you engage and waste your time? Now, if I don't remember who you are, that you're Krishna's eternal servant, then I'll speculate, I'll think you're so many things. All right, somehow or another you arrived in the temple, I don't know how, and you're kind of existing here, but exactly who you are, I don't really know, why you're here, how long you're going to be here, I can't really say, but I don't even know why I'm here. Unless we have a positive viewpoint, vision, of who everyone is and what we're all supposed to be doing here, then Maya will fill that vacuum. She'll give us some other conception. And then we come back, we hear, oh yeah, that's what it really is. And although, you know, we wander throughout the day going through so many different moods, so many different visions of things, so many different purposes, and then we come back and we hear, no, back on track. Get back on track. At least that's what class is supposed to be. But we have to get a clear vision of what our life is actually meant for and how we're actually going to accomplish it. And part of that is we have to become convinced that this philosophy is real, that there is a God, I'm actually His eternal servant, and I should be serving Him 24 hours a day with my body, mind, and words. And then gradually we can make some progress. If we have that conviction, then we can see what the gaps are and how I can gradually fill them in. And what will be the result? The result is if we actually act in Krishna's service to please Him, then Krishna will give all His blessings. And we'll be able to more and more easily remember Krishna, and gradually as the heart becomes purified, we can actually look into our heart and remember Krishna's forms, experience His presence, remember His qualities, His associates, and even their pastimes and activities more and more consistently. And as soon as we do that, then we'll be in bliss, because the whole nature of the material world, spiritual world, is just blissful. We don't have to add anything to it. It's just the nature of the spiritual world. It's full of loving, transcendental pleasure. And as soon as we become conscious of it, then we'll experience transcendental pleasure because we have spiritual senses. That's our nature. Now that we've forgotten about Krishna And because we're desiring some substitute rather than being in Krishna consciousness, we have this whole material world to enjoy, to experience with our spiritual senses, which gives us a kind of pleasure, a kind of distress, and a mixture of both. Ladini Shakti perversely reflected through the material modes of nature. But because we've developed a taste for whatever little pleasure we can get here, and because we may not be aware of so much of what the real spiritual pleasure is, we have to first feed our intelligence with knowledge. And then we might become convinced to give up some of the things that are deviating us from Krishna, especially unwanted association, and accept good association, and accept good association following the directions of the person who's actually self-realized, or persons, our acharyas in disciplic succession, their instructions and the good example of the devotees, how they're understanding and following the instructions to cooperate together to help each other become Krishna conscious, at the same time help other people, innocent people, become Krishna conscious too, because they're also Krishna's eternal servants. They're now covered by upadis, maybe more than we are, but it's not that we're completely free from upadis either, from false ego or false designation. They just have more confusion, more misdirection. So we should try to help them as much as we can, give them the proper direction. And many people, that's what they're looking for. Obviously, modern society, you know, we can see the state it's in. It's not very pleasant to live in modern society, even though people are struggling to just survive, but their karma is such that even surviving in Kali Yuga becomes more and more of a challenge. So we can give them a process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving a process by which people can actually realize who they really are and live life in such a way as to make material life as pleasant as it could possibly be. And Krishna is also, he came as a householder and he showed how to live perfectly as a householder, because he wants people to live nicely, happily in the material world and perform sacrifice and then prepare to go back to the spiritual world. But because people are not following the rules of household life or brahmachari life or vanaprastha life or sannyas life properly, therefore there's so much confusion and unhappiness, because there's no sacrifice for Vishnu. Vishnu is not in anyone's consciousness. They don't even know about Vishnu. They don't even know about Krishna. They don't even know about any of these things. There may be some vague conception of God. You go to the church and what you see is someone being tortured. A leader is being tortured. You wonder, you know, what kind of God sends his son in order to free us, he has to be tortured. Obviously, he has his priorities wrong. He could have, you know, if he's all powerful, why would he have to send someone to be tortured? He could have sent someone like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came personally to make us all, by following him, we become blissful. So we have something very valuable to offer to people who are actually realize that other religions, they realize there's a God. It's not so difficult to look in the sky and see the planets moving their orbits, look at this bodily machine and see how we're not controlling anything, but somehow or another, perfectly, we're eating things, it's being digested, the unwanted parts are being eliminated, all due to some supernatural power. Time is changing everything. There is obviously God. But people don't have any idea who actually God is, so they have nothing to focus their attention on, nothing to put their minds on, nothing to think about. You become religious, you know, what are you going to think about? Someone being tortured, or, you know, someone sitting in a posture, not moving, trying to merge into the void. I mean, how many people are actually going to want to fix their minds on that? Maybe when they get really into trouble, they have to turn to something. But we have Krishna's blissful pastimes in Vrindavan. We have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic kirtans. and his wonderful teachings to fix our minds upon. And others can also fix their minds upon it and become benefit. And they can use their intelligence to actually see how their bodies are changing, but they're not changing. How God is controlling this universe. How God must be the most beautiful, the most strong, the most intelligent, the most famous, the most renowned, and the wealthiest. What other better definition for God is? What better definition to satisfy one's intelligence that this is who God is? Can anyone say a better definition of God than that? So we have food for people's intelligence. We have the most wonderful philosophy and pastimes for their mind. We have the best activities of prasadam and dancing and chanting. So it shouldn't be hard to convince anyone who's half sane to follow this process. But we have to become convinced that we should do that. We should actually organize our society in such a way to give people the opportunity to hear something intelligent, think about something intelligent, do something intelligent, and then their faith and their refuge will be properly directed. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
It seems that Krishna makes his plan quite clear about this world and the course of action. At the same time, it's quite famous that God's ways are inscrutable, and our verse for that is Mohyanti Kavayo Vihi, and Vishnudev's words in ninth chapter of Canto 1, that even great learned devotees may become confused about Krishna's figuring out Krishna's plan, like he was looking at the Pandavas and crying, saying, how was it Krishna's plan? What was the idea behind all of this? So my question is, why even great devotees may find it difficult to figure out the exact plan of Krishna now and then?
Well, because Krishna is Daksha. He does many things at once. I'm sure Bhishmadeva understood what was going on because he's a Mahajan. But to understand everything was going on, he understood, just like we understand. It's not that we're better than Bhishmadeva. Even Queen Kunti understood. She said, Vipadak Shantitakshasva Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavatad Darshanam Yasyat Apana Bhavadarshanam. She wanted to see these calamities again and again, because when there were calamities, they thought about Krishna. And the more they thought about Krishna, the more they wouldn't see birth and death. Janmaishvara Shruti Shribir Edamana Mandat Puman Naivahat Bhavadat Invai Tvama Kinchana Gochara. That progress in material education, material wealth, material position, material progress makes a person who's very intoxicated, makes them mad. So they can't chant Hare Krishna with any feeling. So she understood that. I'm sure Bhishmadeva understood. But exactly the intricacies of Krishna's plan, you know, that he may not have, you know, he's made that statement. But we can understand basically, it's been going on since time immemorial. His devotees are always put into difficulty, so they can rely upon him even more strongly. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. Because if everything was going nicely in the material world, we'd never think about Krishna. So, there may be parts of Bhishmadeva was amazed, but it's just adbhuta. Krishna's plans are amazing. I mean, that's in the end of the Krishna book. That question is asked. How is that Lord Shiva's devotees? Lord Shiva lives underneath the tree, but his devotees, they live so opulently. And Krishna's devotees, Krishna lives in Vaikuntha with all spiritual opulence. And devotees are, you know, they're poverty stricken. You know, so what's going on? Krishna is so wealthy because he stole all the money from his devotee. He's living high. Is that why Krishna is so wealthy? No, because material wealth is not real wealth, it explains. Material position is not really position. Krishna consciousness is wealth. And the more one is infatuated by material accumulation, by one's material situation, the less one can easily think about Krishna with feeling. Yes.
I'm just curious about this verse and the previous one. It's mentioned that when the knowledge brings all the light, like, and when everything speaks in the knowledge, then you go, the path to liberation begins. Does it begin, or is this an end?
Well, knowledge means to know Krishna, to know our relation with Krishna. That's knowledge. That we're a soul, and Krishna's God, and what that relationship is. That's knowledge. Gyanam, 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 kam, yam. Riddhi saravashtavishtiham. I am the light in all luminous knowledge. Jyoti sam api jyotoshtish. Tamasam paramuchite. Gyanam 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 gyanam. Riddhi saravashtavishtiham. I am the light in all luminous objects. I am beyond the darkness of matter. I am knowledge. I am the object of knowledge. I am situated in everyone's heart. So knowledge means to know Krishna. So as soon as we start knowing Krishna, that's when we have some knowledge. Otherwise, it's avidya, or ignorance. We don't know who we are. We don't know who God is. We don't know how he's controlling everything. How he's the source of all animate and inanimate objects. Then we're in ignorance. Yeah, what is that? Yanam, 7th chapter, 2nd verse. Now I'll declare unto you all knowledge, both nominal and nominal. Gyanam deham savi gyanam idam vaksham yasheshitaha ej gyatvaneha bunyonyaj kitavyam avashishite. Now I'll explain to you all the knowledge, everything, nominal, numinous and nominal. And what is that? The five, all the elements come from Krishna. All the souls come from Krishna, and Krishna is the source of everything. Matak paratanam nyanyat kincharasti dharanjaya mayi sarvamidam proktam sutre mani ganav iva. That all things rest on me, just like pearls are strung on a thread. That's knowledge. That's all you have to know. And if we don't know that, then we're in ignorance. Does that answer your question?
So, yes. I mean, it's both then.
Yeah, Krishna's knowledge. All this energy we see, which we don't see very clearly, what we see, but it's all spiritual. It's all Krishna's energy. It's all acting on his direction. Of course, the souls, they can desire to be put into illusion and think something else is going on and have to follow the ways of the three modes. Well, they can recognize Krishna. And actually, gradually, as they become more and more fixed in Krishna consciousness, then they'll see that it's all spiritual. It's all under Krishna's control. And then internally, not only externally, they'll see everything in relation to Krishna, everyone, but internally, they'll be able to relish associating with Krishna and his devotees by remembrance. Gopis of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they were not satisfied simply with the rasa dance at night. They wanted to associate with him and enjoy his company during the daytime also. When Krishna went to the forest with his coward boyfriends and the cows, the gopis could not physically take part, but their hearts went with him. And because their hearts went, they were able to enjoy his company through strong feelings of separation. To acquire the strong feeling of separation is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his direct disciple succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can also associate with him through strong feelings of separation. Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes are all identical with him, There are 9 different kinds of devotional service, and devotional service to Krishna and feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest level of perfection, to the level of the gopis. As stated in the prayers of Srinivasacharya, that the 6 Goswamis gave up their opulent status and princely status of life, material government service and princely status of life, and went to Vrindavan, where they lived like ordinary mendicants begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Srimati Radharani, feeling the separation of Krishna. Those who are in the disciplic succession, the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, should always feel the separation of Krishna, worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental teachings, his pastimes. The spiritual master should enrich the devotees to the highest devotional perfection. Feeling constant separation from Krishna while engaging in devotional service is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Is that right? So, that's what we're supposed to do. Hear about Krishna, remember, chant about him, remember him. Then we'll become happy. Yes.
You were mentioning Maharaj, probably Jesus Christ, the Savior. I'm wondering what is your opinion. Probably it's not a very important question for my spiritual advancement, but maybe I'm asking just. There are some interpreters who interpret this part in Bible when Jesus says, "Oh Father, why have you forsaken me?"
Well,
they're saying that how incredible God is. He appears as His own Son, and suffering as a human being, and it's kind of separation pastime. So they interpret it as a. We could say as some far relative of Lord Chaitanya, even if you can comment on that.
Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, but, you know, it's just very difficult to figure out what he actually said, because Mark, Luther, Matthew, they are not the original apostles, and therefore. Although the essence of the same philosophy we have is there, to learn to love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul, to learn to love thy neighbor as thyself. And similarly, other things about making disciples and going out and preaching, making them members, it's the same philosophy we have. But because it's not coming in a clear disciplic succession, there's things that are thrown in, not necessarily originally, but they had councils where it wasn't that everyone accepted that Jesus Christ being crucified was the very essence of his teaching. That was some people decide that later. But he never said that. And therefore it creates a lot of confusion, even amongst themselves. There are so many Christians in the world, and they're divided up into so many different ideas, opinions on these things. But the essence is there, as Prabhupada said, the essence is there. But it's just not so clear, that's all. But my point was not that against Christianity, because Christianity is also a God-conscious philosophy. My point is meditating on their Savior being tortured is not, you know, the same thing, is not the same bhakti as meditating on, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in ecstasy and spreading love of God. But Jesus Christ, there's so much important teachings in Jesus Christ, what he gave, even though it's been, you know, not clearly passed down, and therefore there's a lot of room, if you read the Bible, well, it's seemingly a lot of contradictions. But anyhow, the point is that we have something more ecstatic to think about. And that will, because it's by we understand it's by serving Krishna, accepting Krishna as the proprietor of everything, trying to follow his representatives, serving him to spread love of God, then when Krishna appears before us, that's what takes our sins away, as we actually become conscious of God. Otherwise, we can see, if Jesus Christ died for his followers, for their sin, Prabhupada said, well, why are they still sinning? Why are they killing so many animals? Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not kill. So, but they're not getting a higher taste, that's the problem. Or maybe they're getting somewhat of a higher taste because they're following to some extent religious principles. But we have an opportunity to give people the intelligence to understand Krishna more clearly and something much more pleasant to think about. Although if they follow Jesus Christ, they're also they'll follow some idea of religious principles. They'll understand that there is a God and they should try to love him. They should try to, you know, help other people love God too. But they don't know who God is very clearly. But we can tell people who God is. I mean, even in the Christian literature, where will you find a definition that God has unlimited beauty, he has unlimited wealth, he has unlimited strength? If he's God, he must be the source of everything. So he must have those things. But where is that in any other religious scripture? Can anyone tell me? Where they define God as Bhagavan? Anyone know? Anyone ever read the Bible here? Did it say that in the Bible? Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya. No, so, I mean, how can you, unless God is all attractive, why would anyone want to surrender completely to him? So their idea is more or less salvation, or maybe going to the heavenly planets. You know, one religion says if you die in some, they claim, which I don't think is true, then you go to the heavenly planets. But we have something beyond the heavenly planets. Beyond just being free from sin. Because without developing actual, without realizing how wonderful Krishna is, how can we actually love him? And without love, how can anyone be satisfied? We need some object of love. And the object of love should be person who's most attractive. Anything else? But we appreciate anyone who's trying to spread God consciousness, but as Prabhupada used to lecture, they should stop killing animals, which is actually inhibiting the spread of God consciousness. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Bhagavad Gita, Kijai.